Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jay.
All right, Jim. So the Timberwolves signed their first-round pick, Yoan Berger, and he's going to participate in the Summer League starting on Thursday. Do you have a feeling on as far as what they're looking for from him, and if he plays well in the Summer League, could he carve out at least a chance to play in regular season games?
He is a long-term project. If he plays at all in the regular season this year, it'll be either because they had 85 injuries or they are out of contention, which isn't going to happen. He's a long-term project. They want him to learn how to play basketball in the summer league. And it's not going to happen in one summer, but you know, they want him to just start acclimating to the NBA game, getting comfortable, understanding how far he has to go. You know, he's kind of a natural shot blocker. He's an excellent athlete, but he's a long way off from playing in the NBA.
And would he see time in the G League at all, or did they plan to keep him on the regular roster this season?
Oh, I think he'll spend a lot of time in the G. I think he'll spend a lot of time in the G League. If he spends time on the NBA roster, it's either going to be for acclimation, just to get him used to, you know, spend time with Gobert, be around the team. Or it's going to be because some horrible things have gone horribly wrong. He's not going to be considered a contributor to meaningful games this year.
Jim, are the Timberwolves interested in acquiring, if he became available at a price they could afford, Bradley Beal or Malcolm Brogdon?
This is why rumors are so popular, because, you know, would you want those players? Of course you'd want those players. Would you want those players at a price? Could you get those players at a price that would make sense for your current roster construction? Do they fit? I don't think so. I mean, this is a team with a very strong top seven. I think those of us who, I don't know, I haven't run to anybody who doesn't think that Terrence Shannon Jr. isn't going to be a player. He's eight. Then you have Jalen Clark, who I really like myself. I probably like him more than Timberwolves do. And he's kind of your nine. And, you know, then they have guys like Leonard Miller who have been developing. There's still some hope that a couple of the other youngsters could be contributors. Would you want them if you didn't have to think about money at all? Yeah, sure. You maybe give them a try. I just don't see it fitting into their scheme. I also don't see them going into like signing somebody and going to the second apron. And listen, this isn't about the owners being cheap. That's always the first reaction of Minnesota sports fans. If you're in the second rate apron, it ties your hands. Conley is a wheeler and dealer, and he loves making trades, and he loves having the freedom to make trades. If you're in the second apron, it ties your hands. It's very difficult to make deals. So short answer, I don't see it.
Jim, how about Rob Dillingham? Where does he figure in?
I honestly just forgot about Rob for a second there. So if you consider Dillingham a starting caliber player, which we should, because even if he doesn't actually start the games, he's probably going to play more minutes than Mike Conley. So that's your top eight with Dillingham in it. Shannon Jr. would be your nine. Clark would be your 10. Miller would be your 11. They spent a lot of money on Naz Reid, so I don't know exactly where they are in terms of salary cap space, but there probably isn't room for another ball-dominant scorer in terms of basketball. There probably isn't room for anybody who makes any real money as an acquisition.
Is it challenging for a smaller player like Dillingham to have success in the NBA, especially when there's so many teams that have big point guards, you know, like the Thunder with Rashea? I mean, he would certainly make he would have his way against Conley or DiVincenzo when he matched up with him.
Yes, it's a challenge, but you know, I mean, Allen Iverson was not very big, and not only was he a spectacular player, he went in there with the big players and beat them. There have been players throughout the course of NBA history who have overcome, you know, a lack of size. Jalen Brunson isn't that big guy. He's thicker than Dillingham, but he's not a big guy. And he's one of the best players in the league. So, you know, Dillingham is going to have to offset the fact that people are going to try to pick on him defensively. They're gonna have to he's gonna have to offset that by being spectacular offensively. And that's what they think he is. They think he is a guy who can break down any defender, who can get in the paint on any defense, who can create his own shot, who can create shots for teammates. And frankly, when he's on the court, he's going to have to use his quickness to harass people, keep him off balance. And by the way, nobody stopped Shea this year. Okay, he got guarded by point guards, shooting guards, forwards, defensive specialists, and nobody stopped him. So, you know, if Rob Dillingham ends up on Shea Gilgeous, if Rob Dillingham ends up on guarding a very good offensive player like Shea, it's got to be team defense. It's not going to be just one guy anyway. So he's going to have to offset his lack of size by really exploiting his quickness and his offensive repertoire. And I think the real key for him is not going to be, you know, ever getting to the point where he's like an all NBA defensive team player. That's not going to happen. It's going to be shooting threes, shooting from the outside. If he adds reliable outside shooting to his current arsenal, the question is not going to be, can he guard anybody? The question is going to be, can anybody guard him?
Do we know if he's gotten stronger?
I mean, they certainly have him on a program. And he looks, you know, last time I saw him in person, I mean, he's not going to be big. But being as strong as you can within that frame is important. But once again, we've seen players who didn't have any muscle succeed in the NBA. Quickness is much more important to him than strength. And I'll go back to it. If he shoots the three well, if he shoots a reliable outside two-pointer so people have to get up on him, nobody's going to be able to stay in front of him.
Jim, how about Byron Buxton saying that he's going to participate in the Home Run Derby next Monday in the All-Star game?
Fascinating. And, you know, he would not be doing this, and the Twins would be dissuading him from doing this if he didn't feel great. So here we are, you know, 55% of the way into the season. He's been healthy. He's been spectacular. And now not only is he going to go play in the All-Star game, which can be, you know, not that demanding a physical test, to actually volunteering to be in the Home Run Derby. It's great for the game. It's great for him. I just hope the Twins don't waste this season, because they've been waiting for the season from him for a long time.
Does his swing and his abilities, does he translate well to have success in a Home Run Derby?
I would think not. I mean, listen, the bat speed is there. The talent is there. You know, we're talking about size. Byron is put together. Okay. He has a more impressive body than most of the people in the NFL. But, you know, I would think that if you're trying to figure out who's going to win the Home Run Derby, you'd probably pick somebody who weighs more, who's a little thicker, and who's more of a pure home run hitter. Byron hits home runs not because so much of the approach. He hits home runs because he's got so much bat speed that if he gets a ball in the barrel, it's going to fly. So I would think he doesn't have exactly the right profile. He's not the guy I would bet on. But we've seen weird things happen in the Home Run Derby before.
Jim, the Twins play the Cubs starting a three-game series tonight. Sounds like Zebby Matthews is making some progress. How about Pablo Lopez? When would the earliest time that we could see him?
I still don't know that anybody has a date that has any real veracity to it at this point. But I just think you're looking at August. I don't know when in August, but we could use the phrase, they're not going to rush him back. Well, he can't rush him back. He's got to, you know, they need him back as an ace, a fully healthy ace who isn't risking his future. That's what they need him back as. So, you know, we're still a ways away.
It also sounds like Bailey Ober is, you know, he was shut down because he was pitching with discomfort. Are they confident they could get that discomfort out of there so he could pitch freely when he comes back, hopefully after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I don't think it's a long-term thing. He could keep pitching with it. He just wasn't pitching well enough to justify keeping in the rotation. So at some point say, okay, no matter what the MRI says, if he's not pitching well because of that hip, then you got to get it fixed. And I know they're in a what feels like a dire situation. It is a dire situation. And it's always hard to emphasize long term over the short term because it feels like they need to be winning now, but you just can't put people at risk, you know? And really what they need right now is they need their lineup to really start producing and win some games 8-6 when they need to. Tonight might be one of those games. They're going up against a superior team. They're going up against a superior starting pitcher. They're going to find a way to put together some rallies and get some big hits against good pitching to hang in there.
The Cubs are 18 games above 500. They've been, you know, they're sitting in first place in the Central Division in the National League. How have the Cubs been so good this year?
They have a very good rotation. You know, they have some star quality players. They also are it sounds weird to say about, you know, a big market team, and the Cubs, because of their money, are a big market team, but they've also kind of benefited from, you know, not being all that great lately, you know? So sometimes baseball, it's true in all sports, but it seems to matter the most in baseball. Sometimes you benefit from not being great, you know, at times. And, you know, they've also gotten some really good players from Japan. Suzuki has been tremendous. Michael Busch from Invergrove Heights is having a great year. He's going to have a lot of people in the stands. You know, Kyle Tucker's been very good. You know, Dansby Swanson, who was kind of a backup, somebody the Twins had hoped they maybe would have gotten if Correa hadn't signed with them. He's been excellent at shortstop. It's a good team.
Jim, as far as where the Twins are at, I mean, standing, certainly a lot of teams they'd have to leap over. Is this the kind of thing, get to 500 and then see what you can do from there?
I just think that right now, with all the injuries, it's just not a very good team. So they're just going to have to hang in there, tread water for a little while. And then at some point, you know, when they're healthier, they're going to need another, you know, streak. Now, it doesn't have to be a pure win 13 games in a row type streak, but they're going to have a big month at some point. And I don't know if, you know, right now it's going to happen. I think they need to kind of just survive to the All-Star break, get some people back, and then at some point they're going to have to go on a run. And they're not in a great position when you look at the standings, of course, but they're also competing with a lot of mediocre teams for those to get up in that wild card slot. If they win 12 out of 15, they're going to pass a bunch of teams right away. So it's not mathematically impossible. It's not even mathematically improbable. They're going to have a really good month, and that month might have to be August.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
We've Don Mitchell show coming out today. Had the great singer Kat Perkins, North Dakota native, now lives in the Twin Cities, touring the nation right now. We had her on. She was home on a little break. Really cool to have her on Don Mitchell show. That'll be out later today. We have Russo's show on the Wild and hockey out. We have Kevin Gore on hockey. We're going to be unveiling some new shows here pretty soon on high school football and fantasy football, and everything's at TalkNorth.com.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, today brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, it's World and National News from ABC, and that's brought to you by Executive Express.